My guest at this time is Nevada Republican Congressman Joe Hack. He has served in the House of Representatives since winning his seat in 2010. He is now the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate in a very tight race that is seen by many folks as the best opportunity for Republicans to pick up a seat currently held by Democrats. That's because current Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid is retiring. His opponent in this race is Catherine Cortez Masto on the Democratic side. And Congressman, and I should say Dr. Hack as well, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Well, as I mentioned, Harry Reid has held this seat for 30 years. He's been in the leadership for a couple of decades. He's been the top Democrat for over a decade. How would you be acting as a senator in contrast or similar to what Harry Reid did for Nevada in recent years?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, Greg. And so certainly the experience that I've been able to gain by being in the House for the last three terms and being able to identify problems important to my state, develop solutions, and then get those solutions implemented are critically important. And so that's the same technique that I would use when I'm in the Senate, continuing now instead of just representing the 750,000 people in my congressional district, the more than 2.8 million that live throughout Nevada.
Talk about what you've done over the past 6 years in the House. So how has that experience prepared you to not only make a case to the voters of Nevada, but to prepare you for the Senate?
So it starts by building relationships, not just with members of the House, but members of the Senate in order to get legislation passed. And so we've identified issues critical to my district and the state that we were then able to develop meaningful solutions and work in a bipartisan way to get those bills passed through a divided Congress and signed into law by a Democratic president. So I've had bills that have addressed veterans homelessness, bills that have addressed the victims of human trafficking, legislation that actually creates good paying jobs in southern Nevada by transferring an old abandoned mine site that's owned by the federal government to a local redevelopment authority so it can be remediated, reclaimed, and developed at no cost to the taxpayer, supporting our men and women in uniform, which is critically important to our national security, but also to Nevada because of the large military presence we have with Nellis Air Force Base, and Fallon Naval Air Station, and the Hawthorne Army Depot. So these are the types of things that we've been able to identify, along with educational issues and making sure that Nevada gets its fair share of career and technical education funding, which is critically important to preparing the next generation of workers. So we've been able to get these things done in a bipartisan way through a divided Congress, signed into law by a Democratic president, by building relationships across the aisle in both houses.
What are the biggest differences, and I'm guessing this answer could go on for a while, what are the biggest differences between you and Catherine Cortez Masto, particularly on issues that you believe matter most to the state?
Well, the biggest difference is that I actually have real-world experience in the issues that matter to most Nevadans. As we've traveled around the state and talked with people across Nevada about the issues most important to them, they say jobs in the economy, national security, education, and health care are the things that matter to them most. Now, I have lived and worked in every one of those four areas. So I owned my own company. I had a business. I know what it's like to make a payroll, to actually hire folks and put people to work. And I know what the impact is of every regulation that's passed by a state, local, or federal government and what it does to the bottom line of a small business owner. I've served in uniform for 26 years. I continue to serve in the Army Reserve. I've had the honor to command some of the finest men and women this country has to offer, three tours of active duty overseas. So I know what it takes to keep our country safe. On healthcare, I'm a practicing physician. I've worked in inner-city hospital emergency departments for over 20 years. And if you ever want to see what works and what doesn't work in our healthcare system, come spend some time in an inner-city hospital emergency department. The goal is to increase access to healthcare, not just health insurance. And so we're working on that. And lastly, in education. I serve on the Education Committee in the House. My undergraduate degree is in education. I actually thought I was going to be a teacher when I was in college. Did my student teaching assignment and realized that there's no way you could possibly pay me enough money to be a teacher. My three children are products of our public school system here. They've each gone to a different institution of higher education in the state of Nevada. So when parents talk to me about their concerns about education in our state, I understand because I've had those same concerns. My opponent has no real-world experience in any of those issues. She's been in government-related jobs her entire professional career, and the only thing she can talk about are the talking points given to her by the Democratic Party or what she knows from reading it in a book.
Would she be more Harry Reid, in your opinion?
Well, she is Harry Reid's handpicked candidate, so we would expect her to continue down the same path of failed policies that Harry Reid has championed over the last decade, certainly over the last 8 years in aiding and abetting the president In one of the reasons why we still have a stagnant economic recovery with sluggish economic growth, stagnant wages, a failed foreign policy that has caused our allies to no longer trust us and our adversaries to no longer fear us. She came out in support of the Iran nuclear deal, which certainly does nothing to stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. She did so in a quid pro quo after Harry Reid and the president conducted a fundraiser for her here in Nevada. So I would expect the same type of votes and the same type of obstructionism that we have seen from Harry Reid.
Nevada obviously is a battleground state. It is on the presidential level as well. You've been leading most of this race. Now it's very, very tight. A couple of recent polls actually have her up a couple points. Why do you think it's gotten tight, and what do you think will make the difference in 2 weeks?
Yeah, so it's the demographics of our state. The population has changed significantly. Nevada, which had historically been a red state, is now really a blue state. There's an 88,000 Democratic voter edge in our state, a growing Latino population. And so it makes it that much harder to get out, talk to folks, and be able to earn their votes. But that's exactly what we're doing. We've done that over the last 18 months. I'm the only candidate in this race that has held public events in all 17 of Nevada's counties, making sure that people all across the state have the opportunity to learn about who I am, where I am on the issues, and why I want to be their next U.S. Senator.
What's your approach? Maybe it doesn't change, but what's your approach depending on who wins the presidential race, assuming you're elected as well?
Well, look, I think the most critical issue is to ensure that we have a Republican majority in the U.S. Senate, regardless of who's in the White House. We want to make sure that there's a system of checks and balances. We want to make sure that we help facilitate good ideas, block bad ideas, and, of course, make sure that we are running the confirmation hearings for the next Supreme Court justices.
Let me bring up another issue that I know is a big issue out west, but it certainly is in Nevada, given with how much land the government owns. There's obviously been some very public issues with ranchers and government regulations. Others have gone very much under the radar, but I know from talking or at least reading about some of them that there's a lot of frustration about the government's heavy hand in that situation. What's your approach to government ownership of so much land and the regulations they're putting on ranchers and others out there?
Yeah, well, it's had a significant and a potential for an even greater impact on our historical ranching, mining, and farming communities, especially out throughout rural Nevada. About 87% of Nevada is owned or controlled by the federal government. And so when they look at listing species like the sage grouse, which would decimate the mining, ranching, and farming industry, that's a big issue. When the EPA looks at passing regulations like the Waters of the U.S. rule, where a dry drainage irrigation ditch on a farm, once it has some water in it, would be considered a navigable waterway subject to all of the regulatory requirements of the Clean Waters Act, that's going to have a significant impact on our generational businesses here throughout the valley. We need to return more land to the control of the state and local governments. Now, that's not saying we're going to take something like the Humboldt National Forest and say, okay, we're going to take control of that and make it a state forest. But there are many pieces of land controlled by the Bureau of Land Management or the Department of Interior that have been held for over a century that should be returned to local counties so that they can use it for economic development and generate some property tax revenue. You know, I mentioned education a little bit earlier. One of the reasons why Nevada does so poorly in education is because of lack of revenue. And that lack of revenue comes in part because of the lack of counties to be able to assess property taxes on land that's held by the federal government. And payment in lieu of taxes, which is the government's small pittance returned to the state to try to compensate them for owning the land, is nowhere near enough to meet the demands of a rapidly growing state.
Last few seconds here, Congressman, where can folks go to learn more about your campaign and help out if they wish?
So our website is drjoeheck.com, drjoeheck.com. Appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners. Would certainly appreciate their support as we wind down this critical election cycle.
Congressman and Dr. Heck, thank you very much for your time. Please stay safe on the campaign trail, and we look forward to talking to you down the road.
Thanks, Greg.
Dr. Joe Heck, also Congressman Joe Heck, the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate in Nevada in a very tight race to succeed the retiring Senate Democratic leader, Harry Reid. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.